Good morning, I'm Glenn. I am a member of Trinity Church and am privileged to at various times exercise one of my gifts by sharing the scriptures with you or declaring them to you. And it's my privilege to do that this morning. I would invite you to take your scriptures and turn with me, or of course, if you have your iPad or your phone, to do that and go to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we've been in for the last 5 weeks together. Now this is our sixth week. We look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we, this morning, are going to look at verses 12 through 25, verses 12 through 26, 12 through 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I will read them. For just as the body is one and has many members, all of the members of the body, though many, are one body. And so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we all were baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would make it no less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? And it is that there are many parts, yet one body. So the eye can't say to the hand, "I don't need you." Nor can the head say to the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we give more honor to. And those parts of the body that are unpresentable are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but might have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer together. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice together. That's God's word. A friend of mine who was known nationally and internationally as a great speaker as a wonderful pastor would often say, to live above with saints we love, that will be glory. To live below with saints we know, well, that's another story. The church can be messy at times. Now, life can be that way too. But for some reason, we don't expect that to be the case with the church. I have been in a number of messy church situations along the way as a pastor. I once pastored a church where, prior to my coming, they almost had fisticuffs at a business meeting. A church. But you know, it's true of our lives too, isn't it? Life can be messy at times. Things don't turn out like you planned. Your kids don't necessarily grow up to be what you thought they would be. Or your parents and their relationship may not always be what you thought it ought to be. Life can be messy. It was to a messy church that Paul, in this book of Corinthians, writes. The church of Corinth, it is clear through what we've already seen in the early chapters of this book, was in a real predicament and having real problems within it. Starts right out in the first chapter. There are some in the church who say, I'm of Paul, and there are others who said, I'm of Cephas, and there are others who said, I'm of Apollos, and all of a sudden the camps, and these camps were in fights with one another about particular issues of doctrine and so forth. It got messy, and Paul had to address it. Now, he addresses it correcting them. We don't like correction. We like people to pat us on the back, gently hold us in their arms and say it will be all right, and don't say, hey, you're the problem. Remember when Nathan had to say that to David in the Old Testament scriptures, when he gives this picture, this story, and David gets very upset and said, I'll get that guy, and Nathan puts his finger right under his nose and said, you're the guy. We don't like that. And yet that's a part of the work of the scriptures to us. And that certainly is a part of the work of the Holy Spirit to us. It's to correct this. For the word of God is given for correction. And Paul, inspired by God, speaks to this messy church and corrects it. Now, for many of us, when we get into messes, our response is to leave, to get up and walk out, to say, I'm out of here, this is over. It may be in our marriages, it may be kids and their families, it can be in workplaces, it can be in relationships, abandonment. But you see, if you are a part of the body of Christ, you have nowhere to go because you're a part of the body. And there are perimeters that are set. It is in the triune God himself, and you've got to stay there. You can't walk out of it unless, in fact, you never believed in the first place, as John tells us in the book of 1 John. They wouldn't have left us if they really were one of us in the first place. So Paul points his finger and says, now let's deal with this situation, verse 1. And let's talk about what it is to be truly in the Spirit, truly spiritual, truly godly, truly Christian. Because when you become a believer in Christ, you say, as was told to us by Paul in the earlier verses, Jesus, by the Spirit, Jesus is Lord. I submit, I surrender to whatever he says, whatever he wants. As the song says, not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go, for who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. That's why Paul says in the book of Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. The I in me, the ego, hits the cross. Not I, but Christ is alive in me. And that's how then I live. And I listen for that word of correction. That word of correction, not only to correct my doctrine, my belief system, my world life view, but to correct my emotion and to correct my doing it corrects my behavior as well. So let's look at Paul as he does that. How does he do it? The first thing is that Paul, in those first two verses, 12 and 13, wants to remind us and give to us a, what we might call a theological, give to us a real situation of who God is in this whole thing. He says, while we are one, out of that oneness to this church that was divided, that thought that the one that they needed to be, everybody needed to have, was this gift of the Spirit called tongues. Out of this oneness, there isn't only one gift, and there isn't only one member of the body, but there are many. And out of that many, there is a cohesiveness that comes to the oneness. Now, he gives to us the example of that, and theologically the basis of that, in that verse 13, when he wants us to be reminded that we are all, and this is important because you're going to find two phrases in verse 13. We are all. Is there a way, by the way, to put that up on the screen at all? Do we have that for here? But we are all baptized, and it says, in one spirit, into the body, which is the church. Now, let me back away just for a moment for you to see how important this word church is. For many of us, church, take it or leave it. For Paul, the only thing that you can do with church is take it, because that's the framework in which you live and exist. We are baptized into. You see, remember, Paul is not writing to a group of good Christians. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you will see that Paul says, to the church at Corinth. It is an identifiable assembly of people who he is going to call the body of Christ. Now, it is true, there are in the scriptures two senses of church. There's a universal sense and there is a local sense, or what we may call an invisible sense and a visible sense. But Paul in the book of Corinthians is talking about the visible church. And what's interesting, he's talking about the visible church at Corinth, and he says, you, Corinth, are the body of Christ. He's going to say the same thing to the church at Ephesus. You, Ephesus, are the body of Christ. So if he were to write to us today, and we can understand it as applicable to us as it was to them, you, Trinity, are the body of Christ. It is not that there are not other bodies that are the body of Christ as well. But you, Corinth, and you, Trinity, you are the body of Christ. And you are members of that body. How did you become members of that body? You were chosen by God before the foundation of the world, the scriptures teach us. And that choosing was made in time and space by the Holy Spirit, who convicted us of our sins and who brought to us the confession of our faith. For by the Spirit we say, Jesus Christ is Lord. He died for our sins, he was raised for our justification, and his very resurrection gave to him the authority. It verified that he was who he said he was, the very Son of God. And in that resurrection, God gave to him the bounty of that resurrection. God gave to him so innumerable gifts, the Bible says, and this Lord has taken those gifts and he has given them out individually, purposefully, to each of his people. Every one of them has the bounty of Christ's victory given to them. This morning, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you were given the Holy Spirit, and then find out what happened to you. You may not have realized this. Notice verse 13. Two things happened that are really one and the same, because this is a parallelism. It's not a sequential line. It isn't as though you were baptized by the Spirit and then you came to drink in the Spirit. This is one and the same thing. It is what we call Hebrew parallelism, which is frequently used in the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, where one idea and another idea that basically say the same thing in different words with different nuances is propositioned before us. And he said, first of all, in the Spirit. Now, it's not by the Spirit. The Bible makes clear, even through the teaching of John the Baptist, that the baptizer is Jesus. He will baptize you. He will immerse you. Now, that's the second thing that's important to note about this, is that the word baptism is used. And that word baptism was used not simply in a religious sense in the Greek world. It was used in a very secular sense of a boat going into the water, not simply being initiated into the water, but in fact, a boat that was sunk in the water. You were enveloped by the water. And so Paul says, you, when the Spirit of God brought out of your mouth the utterance, out of your heart the utterance, Jesus Christ is Lord, you were, by that Spirit, immersed, plunged, overwhelmed into the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. In parallel to that, not only is the Spirit all around you, not only is it the Spirit, the locale in which you live and move and have your being, as Paul speaks even to the people of Athens, not only is it that you are baptized into the Spirit, but you also drink of the Spirit. The Spirit is not only around you, the Spirit is in you, and it is the Spirit that nourishes, it is the Spirit that enables you. It's similar to what Paul says in the book of Ephesians 2 when he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He takes that drinking analogy and he says, don't imbibe in alcohol to any excess, but rather imbibe, find your sustenance, find your life-giving flow, the water of life, find the wine of your life in the Spirit of God and drink it in without measure. That's what happened when you became a Christian. When you became a Christian, by the conviction and convincing, converting work of the Spirit of God, that Spirit in whom you were placed into Christ, placed into the Spirit, that Spirit plunged you into a relationship known as the Church of Jesus Christ. A guy I knew out on the East Coast worked with professional teams, and he took the analogy of all in and brought it into the Christian way of thinking. And he talked to athletes about being all in for Christ. Well, the Christian is all in to Christ, but not only all into Christ and all into the Spirit, the Christian is also all into the church. Trinity Church is the body of Christ. Wow. That's why I would say, as a member, I have to say, and maybe that line is up there someplace on our, I'm all in to Trinity Church. If you are a member of Trinity Church, I'd like you to say that with me. Because whether you believe it or not, it's still true. Whether you believe it or not, it's supposed to be. What is it? Say it with me. I'm all in to Trinity Church. Now, I put an underline there because maybe you're visiting here from some other church, far or near. And you could put your church in there. But if you're in the church, you have been baptized into, not the water baptism, not several processes of making this happen at different times in your life. When you became a believer, the Spirit of God in which you were and are plunged you into your all in. Say it with me again. You didn't convince me the first time you said it, okay? I'm all in to Trinity Church, the body of Christ. That's the body. Now, he moves from there to what we call a metaphor, out of which he will make an analogy to show the diversity. That's what he wants to show now, as he did to the people of Corinth, who were having concision. They were struggling. They were fighting against one another. There was an embitterment over it because what had happened is that they thought, certain ones especially were promoting, that there was really one gift above every other gift that was the sine qua non, that was the bottom line, that was the absolute necessity, and that was the gift of the Spirit in tongues. And therefore, if you weren't speaking in tongues, you weren't spiritual. That's why Paul says in the first verse of chapter 12, now about spiritual things. Let me talk to you about real spirituality. And let me correct your thinking and let you correct your behavior. So now he takes this metaphor of the body. It's a familiar metaphor that Paul has used before in the earlier chapters of 1 Corinthians, and he's also going to talk about the body in the 15th chapter. Though it's buried a physical body, it's going to be raised a spiritual body. Let me talk to you about spiritual things. Let me talk to you now about this body. Now, he then says in verse 14, for the body does not consist of one part or member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not the hand, I'm really not necessary. I don't belong to the body. Or if he should say, the ear should say, because I am not the eye, I don't belong. I'm not necessary. You see, there is in this particular passage an interesting sense that you're given of inferiority, of lesser than, not quite meeting, not necessary. And so here is the body, members of the body that are looking at other members of the body and saying, I don't measure up to that. I don't have their beauty. I don't have their intellect. I don't have their ability to heal. I don't have their ability to prophesy. I don't have their ability to have tongues. I must not be a part of the body. But notice after each of those statements, what is said. You still are anyway. Just because you don't think you are doesn't mean that you aren't. In fact, what Paul is saying basically is don't be ignorant. Don't think you know it all, because you don't. You are sizing it up wrong. You have wrong judgment. You are a part of the body, regardless of how you feel, think, act. You are a part of the body. You know, living in ignorance is a real loss. I think of that many times in hearing about people that didn't know that they had. They didn't know that they had an inheritance. Someone dies and they can't find the heirs, and here's somebody living in poverty who's a millionaire or a multimillionaire. They didn't know what they had. Some of us live our lives that way with other people. We don't realize what we have. And then death comes. I see that often at death. I see it in death of children. I see it in death of mates. And all of a sudden, the reality strikes, I didn't realize what I had. I didn't realize what I was. I didn't realize the part I played in their lives or the part that they played in my life. And Paul says, that's the problem here. You're living ignorantly. You're living deafly. You're living blindedly to the reality that just because you're not this doesn't mean that you're not that. And that is just as important as this. So he says, what about the other issue? What about if it's just this? What about smell? If it's just this, what about hearing? If it's just this, you are needed. You matter. Now, I want you to move with me to verse 18. Notice what it says. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. You see, you matter. You matter in that God chose you before the foundation of the earth. That's what the Bible says about believers. You matter in that he accomplished that redemption of you through the death of his own one and only Son, Jesus. Christ died for your sins. On that cross, he died for you. You matter to the point that he brings that about in your life by bothering with you to convict you, to convert you, to change you by his power, by his spirit. You matter. But when he does that, he puts you in relationship known as the church, the body, and you matter to him, and you matter to the body. You are by him seen, placed in that body by his own choosing, by his own will. That's really what the word is. By his good pleasure, he has willed for you to despise giftedness, for you not to exercise your gifts to the full of what he has for you, is for you to not bring glory to God, but rather to bring disrepute, to bring him into question and suspect. You matter to the church because God has put you in the church. Do you know, are you a part of the church? Are you a part of Trinity Church or some church? Are you a part? And what is your part? At least this person understood what they weren't and what they were. Do you know who you are? And it's nothing to be ashamed of to not be what you're not. You don't have to say, oh, I'm not a soloist. I'm not an upfront person. I really am not a part of the... No, 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 no. God chose to put you where you are and gift you the way he has gifted you. He's given you the personality that he's given you. He's given you the body and the faculties that he's given you because he wants you in his body, and this body needs you. This body needs you. That's the second thing that we know. Now go to the next passage. Not only that I am all in to Trinity Church, but we've also noted now that I matter to Trinity Church. I matter to Trinity Church. Will you say that with me? I matter to Trinity Church. Say it again. I matter to Trinity Church. You do. Whether you know it or not, you matter. The third thing is that Trinity Church matters to me and to you. It isn't simply that you matter, but notice what it then goes on to say. We move from inferiority to superiority. I'm the eye. I don't need the ear. I'm the hand. I don't need the foot. I'm the head. I don't need this kind of spiritual pride, which is not spirituality at all because it's not true. Imagine, and that's what you get happening here. Look at how grotesque a body would be if it was just an eye. It wouldn't be a body anymore. Or as Jeremy would say, how weird. Okay? How weird. How weird it would be if the body were just a foot and not a hand. How weird. Impossible. You see, it's our unity that necessitates diversity. And it's our diversity that necessitates our unity. That we should be a body. So that, now, Paul makes a turn, which is an interesting turn. Notice what he says in those next few verses. He says, here is a group of members, and he notes that in verse 22, that seem weaker, but they are indispensable. I was thinking about that, and though the Bible doesn't tell us, I think one possibility is to talk about internal organs. How weak and fragile, not only fragile, but they are kept inside that cavity to be protected. And so while we may not even think of them, and while they may be considered weaker instruments or parts, members, they are indispensable. Or think about those that are less honorable. I think of that perhaps with the hand or with the foot. I think of that because they are the things that are most quickly going to get dirty. If you're outside, if you're walking, for instance, as was true in Jesus' day and in Paul's day, you're walking. And they are less honorable. Dirty feet, dirty hands, okay? But they're the ones that especially get washed. And feet are the ones then that especially get honored and protected. Or it might be the uncomely. The unseemly is often the translation, probably to note the sexual organs of the body. They are not the things that are to be flaunted. In fact, don't we really kind of cover them up, and don't we give to them a loincloth, as it used to be called in scriptures, underwear and protection and so forth, even there, and that we give special attention to them. Well, in other words, there are other parts of the body that don't quite get the same particular attention because they have it all the time. But there are other parts of the body that are necessary and that are real that need special attention, and God gives to them special attention. Because He has, now notice that next verse, because He has blended them together, He has commingled them. He is the one who has connected them. You see, the church isn't something that happens by chance. The church is God's design. It's a design as a body to interrelate, to interconnect, so that not only do I say, I matter to Trinity Church, but I also then say, Trinity Church matters to me. Not only that Trinity Church needs me, but I need Trinity Church. It matters to me. It affects me. So much so that Paul concludes that by saying, when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer. And when one member is honored, we all rejoice. That's the connectedness. That's the relationship with one another. So you see, it isn't a take it or leave it church. That's a contrary, that is a contradiction of terms to say a take it or leave it church. You gotta take it. That's the way it is if you're a believer. But in it, it is to say I put it all into it. I give it everything I've got, because this is where the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit live. He lives in us, and we live in Him. And He has shared His good graces with us, and this is where I exercise it, where Paul says that we are to be good to all people, but especially to the household of faith, to the church. And so much so am I a part of that church that when somebody goes through a valley of dark shadows, I go through it too, I feel it. Somebody is struggling financially, I feel it. Somebody is going through a death experience or a divorce experience or somehow having gone through a loss of business or whatever it may be. We feel it. We suffer. We passion with that. But then when they are praised, when they go to honors, when we find those who have excelled, and we see them excel even on a platform, we rejoice with them. We are thankful for them. We praise God for them because we're one with them. So much so that I matter to Trinity Church, and Trinity Church matters to me. Can you say that with me? Trinity Church matters to me. Can you say that again? Trinity Church matters to me. We're family. We're an army. We're a bride. We're a building. But we're a body. And we need one another. A guy named Bob, in a former ministry, told me about going to a Special Olympics event, and it was fascinating to tell him about those who have particular struggles and perhaps with mental issues or physical issues, and when they come together and they want to help them and encourage them and applaud them and honor them. And so you have this. And he said, out on the field, there was this race taking place, and his son was one of the people in the race. He says, the gun goes off and they start. Well, what's the object of the race? Winning, of course. Being the first one to cross the line. That's the object of the race. So he says, they start out and they started running and they kept going. And then he says, all of a sudden, one of them fell down on the track. Now, if I were in that race, I would have said, one down, 10 more to go. Okay? That's what I... You know what that happened in that race? The whole crew on that track stopped, and they turned around, and they went to the one who had fallen, and they picked him up, brushed him off. This is all during the race. And they continued and ran the race together till they all reached the finish line. That is the church. One body, many members, together suffering, together rejoicing. Let's pray.